This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The show, Kate Delaney. If you've joined us for the first time, we just threw out the red carpet for you. I hope you're enjoying that stroll. And for the rest of you, you can walk on the red carpet too, because I love that we have you coming back again and again. And thanks for all of your emails. I love, love, love reading them. Trust me, if I don't get to them, I will eventually get to you, because I get so much email. It's just absolutely crazy. All right, so we're going to talk about a couple of different things here in this hour of the show, including coming up next, we're going to have another edition of We Can Count. But some sad news, and I want to make sure I get to this, because, you know, we start to talk about politics and business and COVID and what's happening in your backyard and what's happening in mine. But there's an actress. Her name was Lisa Baines, and I love this movie, Gone Girl. And I read the book and then saw the movie, and it was a sad thing that happened to her. She was hit by a scooter or motorcycle when she was crossing a street back in the beginning of June, and she died Monday at Mount Sinai Hospital. And she was in a ton of movies. She's like one of those actresses where you see her face and you're like, oh, Cocktail. She was in that movie. Oh, she was in NCIS. Any of you watch NCIS? I watch that. But she's died at the age of 65 following this hit and run. And, you know, besides being this character actor that you saw a lot, she also was, in a lot of stage stuff. She was also in a lot of Broadway. And, boy, how sad is that? Even the actor who I think is brilliant, Seth MacFarlane, sometimes you see his animated stuff. He has such a wicked sense of humor. He said that, I think he tweeted out that he was so sad about her death that he worked with her on his TV series, The Orville. So she just had that, that presence. And, you know, no arrests have been made. They can't find who did it. Somebody smashed into her and then took off. So it is a very sad story. Just one of those weird accident things for sure. All right, another quick follow-up, too, before we dive into it. Amtrak, I mentioned Amtrak the other night and the fact that they have these rail passes, and I've gotten a bunch of emails from you. So you want to go see the USA. So yay, right? You can get the rail passes, and I verified this. You can get the rail passes. So I feel like I'm doing a spot for them, which I'm not. They have a rail pass for 10 trips for $2.99, but you have to get it. Doesn't mean you have to take them, but you have to get it before June 22nd. So now you got the payoff. Just get it. If you're interested in getting it, just make sure you like give yourself a reminder to get it before it's too late. How about that? I would be remiss not to talk about the heat, because everybody's talking about the heat. If we want to talk about what's happening in your neck of the woods and mine, it may be that you are gripped by this horrible heat in Colorado. It's stifling, people say. You know, just a few weeks ago, it seems like, or a month ago, they had snow. I mean, it is scorching. So there's all kinds of warnings, like Grand Junction. Oh, I spent some time in Grand Junction. It's a cool place in Colorado. They're going to shatter a record of 106 degrees. They're going to have highs of 110 throughout most of the week. And even in Denver, they're having some terribly high, excessive heat conditions. And, of course, you know, you look at Palm Springs and Phoenix, and you know, we've taken the show to Palm Springs. For all of you listening to us in Palm Springs, oh, I love Palm Springs. But you are, and in Phoenix, you are going to be 120. So I need to remind you, it's hot. It's hot. That's where you stay inside, right? And you just go out for what the necessities are. It is seriously those days where you could throw an egg on a hot surface outside and it would probably fry it. I always thought that was a joke, but I actually saw someone do it. So it's extreme. It's tough for people that are working outside. I mean, you see them, and you just have to constantly pound the liquids. I mean, you know, think of being overheated. And with pets, what that does, the panting, the breathing, you got to watch with pets. There's got to be shade. Your kids, same thing. I mean, it seems obvious, but sometimes when you first go out, you know how it is. When you first go out into that weather, you don't really necessarily get how hot it is. Like, oh, I get it. Yeah. When they say excessive, yes, it's excessive. Yeah. And hey to California. You know, this is still new for them, but California, it's a brand new day. It was just 6 months ago that California issued desperate pleas for people to shelter in place, and emergency rooms were overfilled with COVID-19 patients. But now our most populous state reopened as of Tuesday, and they're really getting rid of most restrictions and promising that you're going to see an economic upswing, because there's a lot of complaints about that with businesses in California. And it is. This state is opening up to the restaurants with no restrictions on how many people are in the restaurant, that you're at capacity again. The only restrictions are that you know, schools haven't opened fully, but we're not at school time, so that's the reason for that. Theme parks and outdoor sports and museums and hiking trails and that stuff, they all had closures, and they're opening back up, so that's huge. Disneyland reopening after being closed for a year. Who doesn't want to go to Disneyland if you're out there in California? So it's a different time, getting rid of the strict restrictions and moving forward with welcoming people back into California. You know, there's Visit California, which is the organization, the tourist organization, inviting people, come back to California. And people in California are spending money in California doing the things that they couldn't do in their own state. I mean, yes, it's perceived to be a little bit of a destination place, maybe not as much of a destination place as like a Florida, but they're trying to become more of that place to come and see. And I think people are going to take more in-state vacations and maybe neighboring states too. But the fact that restaurants can serve at full capacity and that you've got your theme parks open and that people that are vaccinated don't have to wear masks in most of those situations, I think is super, 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 super big. I mean, they're saying it's a major comeback. You look at what's happened in some of the other states, and this is big. This is big, and it's very exciting. It's been a long time since we've been able to say that, you know, hey, let's take a vacation. Let's do it. Let's take a vacation, and we don't think we have to worry about it anyway. And that's what it feels like. It's been a tough year in dealing with COVID, and you all know it because we've talked about it so much, right? And by the way, there was a couple of questions about Thin Mints. Yes, the Girl Scout cookies, they have millions of unsold cookies, 15 million boxes of unsold cookies. You can go to their website, because some of you asked, how can I order the Girl Scout cookies? And they are good for 12 months, I'm told, so go get them. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Time for another edition of We Can Count. All right, so sadly, two people are dead, two injured in a workplace shooting in Alabama. I wish I could say nobody was died in this. It was really strange. It happened at Mueller Company, which this is a company in a small town that people knew each other in Albertville, Alabama. And the suspect apparently killed himself with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And this is a company where everybody, of course, knew each other. They distribute water and natural gas products. They've got 11 of these facilities in the United States. And Albertville is north of Alabama, around 50 miles south of Huntsville. Two injured employees were transported to a hospital nearby. And, you know, luckily the word is that they're okay. But very, very sad to see that happen in the beginning of the week. And, yeah, nothing like hearing that news and being told don't come to work because there's been a shooting, or somebody you love is at work in a place that everybody knows everybody's name and, gee, it's friendly. And then you get this news and you can't believe it and you think that can't be possible. Is it really possible that, you know, this has happened? And the answer is we've seen too much of this. And yes, it is possible. All right, this is a story that I'm not surprised by, because I've had many conversations about when do we first know that COVID-19 was in the country? And I was in California, and so many people were getting sick at an event I was at. And, oh, it's just a bad case of the flu. And I've heard this from other people. And this was in December of 2019. People in five states were infected with COVID-19 virus before the first confirmed cases, and including some in December of 2019.
COVID-19. Scientists analyzing blood samples taken for a National Institute of Health research program identified 7 people in states from Mississippi to Wisconsin to Pennsylvania who were infected with the new virus days or weeks before the first cases were confirmed. And they published it in the Journal for Clinical Infectious Diseases. That came out on Tuesday. So there's a lot of conversation still, of course, about that. And that 2 samples, one taken from a person from Illinois, another from a person from Massachusetts, go back to January 7th and 8th of 2020. They show antibodies found in the samples appeared about 2 weeks after a person had been infected. So the number of COVID-19 cases found in the frozen stored blood samples is small, so it does suggest it was sporadic according to what they're writing, but still it does provide evidence that it was infecting Americans before the world learned that it was a deadly outbreak in Wuhan, China. 2 of the cases occurred weeks before public health officials confirmed the virus had arrived in the U.S. The more we learn about this, the more we know about the early cases, studying it, piecing it together, the better, right? The better, because moving forward, what do we want to know? Now, the studies show that there was another study that was published in another scientific journal, Nature Communications. They found the evidence of the sporadic COVID-19 cases in New York City a month before the officially documented case and its pandemic wave in March of 2020. But the study suggests a slow, stealthy introduction of the virus, which caused only isolated cases at first before it really took hold, right? So they're saying that the evidence shows for people that are it's taking their breath away when they hear these stories, that there wasn't widespread transmission in the United States, that it was isolated. So the usual spread that we weren't seeing that happen. But then you think of the findings and you think if you look at this, I mean, boy, it could have been so much worse in the beginning. But what if we had known things a little bit sooner? I mean, it goes back to what kind of conclusions do you draw from the pandemic and from this virus and what can happen in the future? I mean, the more we know, the more scientific fact we have and the more there's agreement in the scientific community. And I think the key is China not cooperating with, if they could cooperate more and really learning of the origin of this, where it initially came from, lab, from a market, from an animal, transmitting it from a wet market, whatever. To know that is so key. I mean, we want to know that. All right, this is about numbers with We Can Count, and boy, there's some interesting numbers when it comes to something I talked about maybe a month ago, about this diamond rush all of a sudden. There's a village in South Africa, and they're talking about, they believe they've got a massive amount of diamonds that have been discovered. When I say massive, that's my word, but a lot of diamonds, right? So what does that do? People are in search of the diamonds, right? Because they know if we dig for the diamonds, we know how to do this. We dig up a stone, this can mean a lot to the family. So people, I guess, are traveling from all over South Africa to join these villagers who've been digging since last weekend, because a man dug up the first stone on an open field, and it's believed to be quartz crystals, and, you know, put out the word. And that's, they, as they say there, it's a life changer, right, if you find that, especially with unemployment numbers. So in these mines departments, there's, of course, they're sending out teams that have geological and mining experts to that site to collect samples and do an analysis of it, because you have to have an analysis because you've got all, I mean, they say it's so jammed. You've got cars parked on both sides of this gravel road that you can see for just miles. And there's this open field, and you've got younger and older and male and female, all kinds of people just digging, because South Africa's economy has suffered from, of course, high levels of unemployment. People are trapped in poverty, and there's a lot of, it's really the haves and the have-nots. It's been that way for a long time. And the pandemic had to have made it worse. And when you find these stones and what you can sell the stones for to them, they operate in rand as their currency. And the starting selling stones, it ranges from, 100 rand to 300 rand is what they call it. So even $7, $7.29 to them is everything. But they're trying to get people to leave the site because they think if they have so many people, and this is South Africa, if they have so many people digging at this site in Kwaihafia is the name of the village. If they have so many people that are digging there, what could it cause? And we know that there's problems with the coronavirus, so the fear is too many people digging on top of each other. Yes, this is maybe an economic opportunity, but it could be a super spreader event, and would be absolutely, could be absolutely out of control, and that would not be a good thing. So they're trying to clear the people away. Imagine that. Okay, the word is spread. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody wants to do this. But now you have to clear out because of the coronavirus. All right, on a sad note, we've learned more about Doug Cantor. He was the man that was part of that weekend shooting in Austin that left a dozen people injured in Austin, Texas. He was visiting the city from Michigan. Originally from New York, he went to college at Michigan State, graduated at the University of Michigan. His family, people are asking him, asking them questions, which I think is good because we don't humanize enough the stories of the people. And he worked for the Ford Motor Company, the IT department, and he was a product manager with the company, and he had all kinds of things going on, and he was going to marry his high school sweetheart, and he was on 6th Street. He was in Austin. And the Austin mayor, I'm so glad he reached out. The Austin mayor, Steve Adler, said the loss suffered by the Cantor family is unimaginable, that he leaves behind family and friends and the future he's building. His senseless death has filled us with enormous grief and even more resolve to stop this from happening here and across the country. And I agree. It's the Doug Cantors that we don't want to see this happen to. Of course, your heart goes out to his loved ones, and you multiply the things that people affected by his loss. There were a total of 14 people injured during the shooting that happened early Saturday morning in the crowded 400 block of East 6th Street in Austin's Entertainment District. I've been there. It's an awesome place to go, and it's very, very sad that happened. All right, buckle up, and I'll meet you on the flip side.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A bipartisan infrastructure package received a boost on Wednesday when it was backed by 11 Republican senators. The proposal that contains about $1 trillion of infrastructure spending received the endorsement overall of a bipartisan group of 21 senators, increasing the chances that it receives enough votes to pass out of the chamber. The group says their framework pays for the plan without raising taxes. Some progressive senators have signaled they would vote against the plan, saying it doesn't go far enough on social programs and clean energy. And the House has approved a bill to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. The bill passing the House by a 415-14 vote, a day after passing through the Senate. It now heads to President Biden's desk. If signed, June 19th would be known as Juneteenth National Independence Day, celebrating the end of slavery in the country. President Biden is expected to sign the measure, becoming the first new federal holiday in over 40 years. You're listening to USA Radio News. Now that President Biden is on his way back to the U.S. after a week-long European trip capped off by Wednesday's summit with Russian President Putin, many are evaluating what the president achieved on his first overseas excursion. Former President Donald Trump believes that nothing was achieved by the U.S. in the meeting. He tells Fox News that President Biden gave Putin a large stage, but got nothing in return.
Well, I guess the overall is we didn't get anything. We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing. We gave up something that was unbelievably valuable. I stopped the pipeline, Nord Stream, and that pipeline was stopped, and it was given back, and nothing was gotten for it. And it was it was another day. And performance art, you'll take a look at how various people performed, namely the two people, and, you know, you have to form your own judgment.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Conversation with Peter Breeley. He and I had a great chat off the air, and I found something out very interesting about Peter. He's in the construction business, or he was in the construction business, and so imagine one day you look at your family and you say, let's have an adventure. We don't have to be landlubbers anymore. Why not build a yacht or get a yacht, and why not live on that and go from job to job? Can you imagine the freedom of it? Just as soon as he told me it, I kind of got goosebumps thinking, wow, why don't I just take this show on a yacht and just go from port to port? So now, you know, my husband might get mad at him when I suggest that. And we're going to talk about his book, Demography Day, because, of course, we really want to get into that. But, Peter, I'd be remiss not to let the listeners in on your big secret. What was it like and what led you to do that?
Well, the issue with working construction in Australia is a big island, a big country, and the construction was happening all over the place. And so we were constantly having to either I would fly out or move out to the construction job. So I'm sometimes hundreds of kilometres away from my family and only getting back there on every so often. And that wasn't working for us, you know. I didn't like that. And I had a bit of a sailing background, so I decided, blow it, I'll buy a yacht and move my family on board the yacht, and we will sail around the country and we will work construction around the wharves and the jetties and the coastlines of Australia. And that was successful. So we kept that going for 18 years, and travelling backwards and forwards, going from project to project with a bit of a holiday in between projects when we would We would go out to remote areas in Australia like the Kimberley and the North Coast where there's nobody at all, and you're far away from shops and things, and you become it's a different world in a sense. Yeah.
You said something interesting to me that I think a lot of people fantasize about doing, but boy, I don't know if they would have the guts to do it or could really pull it off. You really did, in some of those cases when you were really remote, live off the land. Like you said, you had your rifle. Hey, I've got my rifle. I got my rod. You know, we easily could be plentiful and have fun and enjoy it.
Yeah, we did that. And we would load the boat up with things like pumpkins and cabbage and rice and onions and all those sorts of foodstuffs and vegetables that lasted. And I had a rifle, I had my net, I had my crab pots, and you become a time millionaire. That's the beauty of it. Suddenly you have this time to yourself, and that allowed me to, I started to do a bit of writing of poetry initially and dabbling around. It even changed our eating habits. We would only have two meals a day. We would have, get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee, but we would not have breakfast till about 9:30. And then we'd go about whatever we were doing for the day. There was a little bit of exploring to be done, or move the yacht to another anchorage a bit further around the coast, or whatever. In the evenings, we would eat at 4:30 in the evenings, generally get everything squared away. Then we'd go ashore, put a couple of deck chairs on the beach, and I'd flick a fishing line in and just sit there and watch the sunset. And you've sort of already had your evening meal. Go back out to the yacht, you might have a cup of tea and a biscuit before tea. And that became the norm for us. And, you know, as I say, I think I became a time millionaire. It was lovely.
So you become a time millionaire, and one of the things you discover is the poetry, which, by the way, in Demography Day, you get to use some of that. So tell the listeners about Demography Day and give us a sneak kind of what it's about, the story.
Okay, well, again, living on the yacht gave me the opportunity to read, love reading, and reading is a great pastime, but people generally don't have time to read. But it allowed me to read, and I was interested to read. I was reading books by Suzuki and David Attenborough and environmentalist Paul Ehrlich was another one. And I was interested to read there were more boy babies born after World War One and World War Two than girl babies. That quite fascinated me. And so I researched on, and part of the research, the common thread from the learned gentlemen like David Attenborough was, A, there are too many people on the planet. We're overpopulated. And, for example, our growth rate figures, it used to take 10,000 years for the first billion people to populate the planet. Now it takes 13 years per billion people, or 320,000 babies a day are born. And they all say that that can't really carry on. I was then intrigued to read on and learn there have been actually five major mass extinction episodes in the planet's history. Four of those caused by environmental change, like ice age, and a temperature of the sea rising, things like that. One was caused by an asteroid collision, put a lot of dust in the air for 100 years, and 95% of living organisms on the world died on the planet. So they are quite fascinating figures. And I thought, gee whiz, you know, there's a bit of a story in that. But then I thought, well, I don't want to write a book that's just full of figures and graphs I thought I would weave it into a contemporary tale. And so my story starts in Gladstone, Queensland, which is an Australian state. And a young girl is, young mother, she's pregnant, or mother-to-be, she's pregnant. She goes to her prenatal clinic, and she's a journalist by profession. She goes in for a checkup, and while she's in there talking to the prenatal staff and to her sister later on that night on the phone, who's also pregnant in Sydney, she discovers that there has been no bookings in the prenatal clinics for a couple of weeks. And so she did a bit of research, and she couldn't find any evidence where any pregnant young mothers had booked into prenatal clinics in Australia or possibly outside of Australia for a couple of weeks, contrary to the norm. So she thought, well, okay, I'll write a little story on that and put it in my newspaper. And it goes viral. It is discounted immediately, of course, by everybody saying it's utter rubbish. But the fact of it is, it became proven. And there were no more babies born after that. Her baby was one of the last ones born. How that impacted her is the story. She's married to an Australian fellow, and they were hounded by the press and vilified to the degree that they decided to step out of the normal streams of life and get out of their busy lifestyle to protect themselves and their unborn child. And so they went bush, as we call it in Australia. They went out to the cattle farming area. And so the story goes on a bit of a journey out there. There's a terrible tragedy in the book, and it forces her to rethink her position. She loses her husband. So she decides to do a full getaway. So she buys herself a yacht and she takes off sailing, and she goes and hides in a beautiful remote area of the world and raises her child. And it's really not until the end of the book that the reader will realize that it is an environmental journey. It is an environmental statement about the numbers of people on the planet. And Demography Day is just it's a work of fiction, but it's a theoretical attempt at, you know, what happened if we just had a few less people? How would the world change? What impact would it have?
What an interesting question. And I think you're answering that by, my next thing is, what do you want people to take away from reading Demography Day?
Well, I think the conversation is a conversation nobody has about the numbers of people on the planet. The world is run by popes, presidents, and marketing engineers, and their tools of trade, of course, the human population. And if somebody threatens those numbers, well, of course, it depowers their base. So generally, there's no discussion. In fact, if you bring it up as a topic just amongst your friends, it will very quickly be dropped and somebody will change the subject about the numbers of people on the planet. We in Australia are fortunate. We're only a two-person family on average. We have a large island to live on, and we're not overly populated, and it's a beautiful place. But you can't really say that is the case in the majority of the world, from some of the figures from other countries that are available. You know, it's a nightmare. It's becoming a bigger nightmare. And, the experts say that there are too many people, but nobody's come up with any solutions about that. China had a go. China brought in restricted numbers of babies to be born. It was an interesting outcome because it started to affect their economy.
Mm-hmm.
So China have now lifted that restriction. But another further interesting result from that is the families in China themselves have decided not to have more than two children. And so maybe Mother Nature is working in her own way in China.
That's definitely a way to look at it. Demography Day is really wonderful. It does open up those questions. And I like the way you weaved it in and out throughout the story and really took us on an adventure. Peter Breeley, you can pick it up on Amazon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Kate, and especially to yourself and to all your lovely audience. Thank you.
Thank you.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop.
and cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This time around, Jamie Kershaw joins us. He's written a few books, and one of the books we're going to talk about is Squirrels of Destiny. And Squirrels of Destiny is part of a trilogy. It's actually the second book in a trilogy. And he joins us from the UK. And Jamie, for all our listeners all over the world, tell us where you are in the UK.
Hi there. Hello, America. I'm from Scarborough, North Yorkshire, in the UK, on the East Coast.
And so you're on the East Coast, and you and I talked off the air where you mentioned writing 6 books. Did you always know that you had that desire to write?
Yes. It's always been a forte, always been a strong point since my final year at college, at university. I decided to continue writing with a passion in music. Writing and music are my 2 passions apart from my family. Family music and writing. And in 15 years, there's been 6 completed publications. 15 years, quite a long time, but I stuck at it because I believe in it. And my girlfriend also believes that I can do it as well. So it's nice I've got support.
Yeah, it is nice that you have support, and it's nice that you plow through it and you put it together. And I'd say in 15 years to have those 6 books is a big deal, and I know you have another in the pipeline. Let's talk about Squirrels of Destiny. Tell us about Squirrels of Destiny. What's the story about?
It's a modern-day epic set between 2010 to 2020. In a nutshell, there's a combination of fictional characters and very, very real people, places, and events. The 7 fictional characters are men and women in their 20s and 30s, so young adults. And there's elements of relationships, business, Olympic sport, musical shenanigans, a band. There's families, there's psychology, philosophy, theology. And it's about their trials and tribulations in this period of time, their successes and failures, heartaches, romances, everything they go through. There's also very real people interviewed in one of the chapters. And in a nutshell, the phrase Scrolls of Destiny is a complement to the people mentioned in the book, which I could tell you how it came about, the title. It's quite an interesting little story.
Yeah, tell us about the title, because the title's brilliant.
Yeah, it's, I think, unusual. I was trying to be original, but it's actually stemmed from, in 2006, I was quite physically fit into training at the time and participated at marathon standard in a race in Paris. And on the bus from London to Paris, the bus left from London Victoria at midnight, went across the Dover to Calais Ferry crossing about 3 in the morning. And about 5 in the morning, we're driving on a French outer hood on the motorway, in other words, and we're crossing a bridge. And I'm guessing that due to the intensity of the whole situation and circumstances that were going on at that time, I looked out the bus window on this bridge on the French outer hood, and I had a vision, or a hallucination, however you'd like to look at it. And on that bridge, when I looked out the window, I literally saw a series of giant flaming squirrels running alongside the bus, which I've referred to Squirrels of Destiny. So quite different, quite original. But
wow, that must have been an interesting sight.
Yes, it was intense.
Oh, wow. So that's great. And again, the title is catchy, and now we know the story behind the title. What's your inspiration for the book? Because I think you talk about things that you see in your life. You know, you talk about athleticism, you talk about music. I mean, how big is music in your life?
Huge. Yes, it's one thing that's pulled me through all my life, actually. It's been a constant throughout my life. Listening to a whole diversity of music. Anything from classical to contemporary pop, rock, blues, jazz, soul, gospel, dance, trance, I like that sometimes, classical, even baroque, a bit of Bach, doesn't go miss every now and again, or Scarlatti, quite exciting, opera, I love to take my girlfriend to the opera. I just love music generally, and then I'm quite adept on the kind of keyboard as well, so that's nice.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. So I said it was a trilogy, so Squirrels of Destiny is the second. What's happening with the third one? You're working on that, and that's going to finish
yeah.
off the story?
Yeah, the third part, there's just, I can't tell you what it's going to be called, because we're giving the game away, but it's going to be taking the next, I'll give myself up to 5 years plus to write it, to be honest with you.
Wow.
These are long-term projects. Squirrels of Destiny took 7 years from conception to production.
And that's okay, because lots of people take even longer, and the whole idea is having the good story, and you have the gift of you have the gift of storytelling, and that's pretty evident in Squirrels of Destiny and the other books, too, as well. What do you hope people take away from reading your books?
Well, there's a phrase I've used on the back of the Squirrels, which I can recite. I'll cite my sources, as you say, in the States. The phrase I've used is, one wish I would have for this book, Squirrels of Destiny, is that it may save someone's life if hope can be discovered within these pages.
Wow. And that's a great thought.
Yeah, optimism.
Yeah, optimism. Absolutely. And you can see that shining through. Thank you so much, Jamie, for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it. And you can pick up Jamie's book, of course, on Amazon.
Oh, that's okay. Can I add another quick detail about the part one to the trilogy is called Plan 103F, and that's also available on Amazon. It's the same characters, but 10 years before is a fascinating, exciting, emotional journey of a story throughout the novel.
Yeah. Wow. And that sets you up for the other one, and that's what you're talking about, the timeline and the continuation of that, and why it takes so long, why the project takes so long, and it's not necessarily long because books have different ways of being produced. But Jamie, thanks again for coming on. And thanks again to Jamie Kershaw for that. A couple of quick hits from the G7 that came out of last weekend and is still being talked about, and a lot of that has to center around COVID and what the countries had to say about vaccine deliveries, etc. And it was interesting. I was listening to the Prime Minister of the UK, who had the first, I think, news conference coming out of that G7 summit, and he talked about the fact that, you know, the world's richest economies are trying to align their positions on vaccines and funds for a couple of different things, including fighting the regimes, the pressures against so many in Africa, and some of that fallout is because of COVID. So they've agreed to align their positions on vaccines and fighting against those pressures. Over the 3 days over the weekend, they worked to convince the world's leading democracies to join everybody in accelerating global vaccine deliveries, saying pretty much that the priority is we can meet the demand for vaccines and that the EU has taken the leadership. So how about that? The EU shouldering the bulk of what they want that position to be. And it's interesting because you look at the G7, you look at the summit, and you think, how much teeth do they have? How much comes out of this that will actually become reality? And, boy, you listen to Boris Johnson, and you listen to what he has to say, and you would think a lot would come out of that. He says a week ago he asked his fellow leaders to help in preparing and providing the doses we need to vaccinate the whole world by the end of 2022. And I'm pleased to announce that this past weekend, leaders have pledged over 1 billion doses, either directly or through funding to COVAX. It included, check this out, 100 million from the UK to the world's poorest country. So that is a huge step for them. And again, to take the lead on this, it seems like constantly the U.S. is shouldering those kinds of things, but it's not just the U.S. Here we go with the U.K. And then they also talked about a study in figuring out where did this all come from. So here we go again with the origins of COVID-19 and how did this whole thing begin. So some pretty intense debate on the language, on what they were going to do ultimately as a group. And I'll be curious to see again if there's any teeth in all of this. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.